Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I do appreciate you tuning in weekly. So my motivational quote today is actually by Unknown, and it says, "The reward for work well done is the opportunity to do more." Now, education plus experience, at one time, it guaranteed a career and career success, but today it doesn't seem to be enough. Professional success now depends on the ability to adapt. Agility, resilience, a willingness to adjust and develop new skills are needed to get to the next level of your career. Now, one of those skills is networking. So, okay, how many of you just shuddered and have hives down your back? And do you find the whole idea of networking to kind of be creepy? And do you hate the thought of forcing yourself onto others? What if I told you that you need to get over that for sure, but you have to get over your dislike for networking because it's actually a vital component of us thriving in whatever career we choose. So today my guest happens to be an expert. Her name is Beverly Jones, and we're going to deep dive into this nerve-wracking topic and help you find your way through that networking maze and towards easier success. Now, Beverly is an executive coach, has her MBA, JD, and PCC, and she has spent 4 decades helping professionals and leaders survive and thrive. Now, since 2002, Beverly has built a respected executive coaching and consulting practice. It's called Clearways Consulting, and she leading retreats and mentoring professionals of all ages to advance their career, shift directions, or boost productivity. Now, in her new book, Think Like an Entrepreneur, Act Like a CEO, she gives you 50 indispensable tips to help you stay afloat, bounce back, and get ahead at work. Now, Beverly shares her practical ways to handle vexing workplace challenges and give readers proven go-to techniques for handling even the biggest career surprises one at a time. So please help me welcome my amazing guest, Beverly Jones, to the show. So Bev, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so pleased to have a chance to chat with you. When we've done some things before, we get so interested in what each other's saying. We get too excited sometimes to stay on our topic because there's so many interesting things to talk about.
There is. And it's funny because networking, you know, obviously I teach networking in my sales consulting firm. And whenever they come in like, ugh, is it the whole topic of networking? It really does freak people out. And I think more so the introverted people. But with that said, anybody can network. And I think if what we're going to deep dive today and share some tips to help people just go in with a little more confidence. And I think it really boils down to being prepared for, you know, whatever the networking event kind of, you know, works with us. So now I said it in my intro, people find networking to be creepy. They hate, you know, the idea of forcing themselves. Talk to me about, before we get into why it's so important, explain why, or explain just what you mean by, and let's kind of put the term networking. What does that mean to you, and how are we going to discuss it today?
Networking is about connecting with other people. But what makes it sound creepy is that when you're networking in the context of your career, you're networking with intent to help each other. So it's that intent to get something out of it that makes people think, oh, it's inauthentic and so forth. But the kinds of things you do to network, to support your career, are absolutely and precisely the same kind of things you do if you just want to make friends or have a healthy relationship in your community. If you're doing something that's inauthentic, you're doing it wrong. But the definition for our purposes today is making connections with other people in service of both of your careers.
which is true. You're really not going in attacking, saying, give me business, give me business. That's so not what, that is creepy, by the way. If somebody approached me like that, I'd be like, ew, I totally don't even want to get to know you, let alone would I ever share one of my clients with someone who is so aggressive. And now, Beverly, when I use the word aggressive, I don't use that in a negative way. I'm aggressive, but I am always respectful in how I approach people. I am aggressive with my habits, that I'm consistent and persistent in how I do business and how I coach people and how I engage respectfully with people. Yes, I am aggressively getting better with myself. So, but when people are aggressive in that, you know, what are you going to do for me? Who wants to be around people like that? It's creepy. It's creepy.
It is. And part of it all is managing your own intent. And just pragmatically, you need to do it because other people can recognize your intent, even if it's unconscious. But if you intend to do well for both of you, if you intend to listen to and get to know and be supportive of the other person when you're having your conversations, that comes through, and you're never really aggressive in a negative way if your intent is well-meaning.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I know when I go to, and I'm sure you do this because you have a podcast as well. Whenever I go to a networking event, and you know, I am very friendly. So I like meeting new people, but that's how I'm wired. Okay. I get that. So I'll meet someone and I'll think, wow, that's fascinating. They're a small entrepreneur. I would be way too expensive to bring in. Maybe I could coach them. Maybe. Right. But I don't have any opportunity, but they're fascinating people. I'll say to them, please come on my show. I think my listeners would really benefit. I would love to support what you're doing because you're kind, whatever it is. And inevitably, I usually don't get business from them directly, but they'll send someone to me, Connie has this show, you should be on the show. And maybe that's more of somebody that I could partner with and do projects and stuff like that. So by you being authentic and coming from a helpful place, it's never a bad thing.
Yes, yes.
Right? You never lose. It's always a win. It's always a win situation. You kind of, you know, put the pebble in the pond and let that, you know, that the waves have an effect. Talk to me about, again, because you're the expert on this, why does networking really, really matter to everyone's career? I don't care what we do.
Well, there are a lot of reasons, but when I'm talking with my clients who are interested in a career transition, one of the things I say, because they're often their lawyers or kind of pretty data-driven people, I tell them that there are lots and lots of surveys that suggest at least 2/3 of jobs, and the higher ranking the jobs, the more demanding the jobs in terms of expertise, the numbers go up even further. So at least 2/3 of jobs are never posted anywhere. Now, partly that's because some jobs are filled internally and they're not looking to go outside the organization. But it's also because when you're hiring and you're hiring for an important job, you'd rather hire somebody who knows somebody you know. You'd rather check them out. So if you're looking at making any kind of transition, any time in your career, you want to have as many connections with other people as possible so that your name comes up when they're talking about hiring a great person. And that's what motivates my clients sometimes, is they're thinking, even if I don't want a job now, I want new clients, or I want to know more people in my profession, and maybe one day I'll want a job. And the ease of my search will depend on the number of people I'm connected with.
It's interesting. It's interesting. My son just graduated college. So he really, I mean, his network are his peers from school and maybe parents, right? My kids played hockey through their entire career, you know, from like, I think they were 5 years old and we started doing travel hockey. So you meet other like-minded parents, and where we live in New Jersey, it's a quite affluent area. So the people we met, right, whose kids were playing hockey are business owners. They're on Wall Street because we're not far from Manhattan. It's a ferry ride, you know? So now that my son graduated, I said, you know, these dads, they loved you. You were respectful. You know, all the things that kids should be. If they went out to lunch, like the dad said, oh, come on, let's all go out to lunch. You know, of course we'd give my son money and say, you offer to pay for your food. You know, you don't assume. And the parents would come back like, are you kidding? And I go, no, they have to learn that that is the respectful and the right thing to do. So I told my son, he's starting to reach out to all these dads now because they know him personally from when he was a kid. So don't think that networking is just who do I know that I've had in my orbit from a career standpoint. It's anybody who knows your character, I think, should be included in those that we reach out to in a networking capacity. What do you think? That's what I think. That's what Connie Whitman thinks.
I absolutely agree with you. Can I tell you my kind of theory of concentric circles?
Yes.
So in looking at how my clients get better and better at networking, I find that one of the things that helps is if they can visualize what this circle they have of supportive relationships looks like, so they can kind of tend it like a living, wonderful resource. I think that your network really spreads out around you in a series of concentric circles. And most immediately, it's your family, your best friends, the people you're really comfortable with. They're not going to help you get a job, probably, because anything they know, you already know. And the next circle out is your friends you don't see quite as often, the people you might like to recruit to your inner circle, you know, your longtime friends. And again, you have a lot of connection with those people, but they aren't bringing you new ideas, new people, new philosophies, because you're already pretty close to them. Where the job search really starts to pick up is if you look to what I think of as the third circle. And that is anybody that you've connected with anytime. Something that's really hot now, as people are changing jobs so often, is to maintain an alumni relationship with places you used to work. So you remain connected with people you worked with 20 years ago. And even if you didn't know them very well, they're very likely to respond to you if you raise that old connection. College alumni, people who used to live in your neighborhood, this group of people who you don't necessarily know well, but had a positive interaction with. It could be, you know, selling Girl Scout cookies to the neighbors, whatever it is. That's an incredible resource. And then the fourth circle out is people who you're connected with, but maybe you haven't even met them. They're alumni of your college or the last place you worked that have friends in common. They're in the same professional groups. They live down the street. They're people with whom you have a connection. And then I think the furthest out is social media. Although that can be pretty close. You and I have never met in person.
No.
And yet I think of you as a friend I'm going to call on.
Yes.
And if you call me for something. So that's another category altogether. But if you can visualize these things, you'll find very often that the professional contacts that you think they're going to help you, maybe they're in your second circle, you know them pretty well, they're not going to help you because they can't bring anything new. But your casual connections, whether you met them at the gym or at church or at a soccer game, that's where you're going to find some support.
It's true. And it's funny. My husband, his company just got sold, actually broken into two companies. So every 700 employees or 600 employees, they all are losing their jobs. Some are already gone. Yeah. This is the nature of corporate America. So he's going to be one of the last ones out the door in January of 2020. The reason I'm telling you this, though, is all of a sudden his LinkedIn was blowing up. And I'm like, do you know them? And he goes, no. He goes, but, you know, they work in whatever department. And he said, but you never know. Excuse me. Who knows who or where people are going to land. So it's exactly what you're saying. They work together, even though my husband didn't work with them, maybe doesn't really know, you know, maybe a nod in the hallway, hey, how you doing? But his LinkedIn blew up. It's exactly what you're saying. You have to stay connected because you had something in common. You understood that culture, right? There's that foundational connection, even though it's not a personal one.
Yeah. And by the way, LinkedIn is just a fabulous tool. It's a great way to kind of keep up a cadence of connection with people who you don't necessarily see. And you can do it in a positive way by following them and then liking or sharing or commenting on what they're writing. You can also meet people that way. It is a tremendously important, wonderful tool for anybody in any kind of career these days.
Now, do you recommend, talking LinkedIn here, do you recommend that somebody who's looking for a job, you just start requesting randomly names that pop up on do you know, or you might know because it's a third connection, and just start reaching out like crazy to people? Or do you recommend kind of knowing who the person is? Maybe they know who you are. What would be a tip with that? Because I know LinkedIn, some people send out, 1,000 requests a day.
Yeah, and that doesn't really bring much. You need to find that point of connection and develop it a little bit. So the first suggestion, of course, is you build up your profile and you build up your habit and your expertise with using LinkedIn, like well before you need it. But let's say you lose your job today. What do you do tomorrow? The thing is that seems to work the best is to be strategic. Start with people you know and ask for suggestions, ask for introductions, or be strategic in another way, which I think is really helpful. Think about places you'd like to work. If you're in a small city, there are a limited number of places. Look at those places on LinkedIn, and you can search and find out if there are people you know who are there. You might find that from your searches that you actually know some people. And if you don't know people, find people who know people. Go to your contacts and say, hey, do you know anybody at Company X? I'd really like an introduction there. Now, going back to what I said about how people are finding people to hire, they're looking for personal recommendations. And so finding a way doesn't have to be close. It can just be, hey, I've heard this is a great person. I've never worked with them, but my friend Joe says that he's terrific. That can be enough to get you onto somebody's pile of people to interview.
And it's interesting. I just had this experience, Beverly. It's just funny that you just said that. I have a colleague in Canada, like you've never met, because we've done shows together. I've been on her show. She's been on mine. And it's all through Skype. And so she came on my show. She just published a beautiful book about her dad and his trip through, avoiding Hitler, and just a magnificent book. So anyway, I interviewed her about her book. And as I was doing research on her to write her bio and come up with questions and be a little creative, I kind of deep dive with people, I scrolled through her media page on her website. And at the bottom, she had been on this show with Natalie Ledwell. I don't know if you know her. I love Natalie. Now, I've bought products. I've been following her for over a decade. She's like my go-to person. I love how she delivers information. I think she's brilliant. She's a heavy hitter, Beverly. There's no way I thought she would ever respond. So I reached out to my colleague, Frankie, in Canada. I said, can you do an introduction? I'd love to have her on my show. I'm starstruck that you know her. So I was a little bit of a dork. And sent an email. I sent Natalie an email that day. Can I tell you, within 1 hour, this woman wrote back to me, talks to the caliber of her character as well, why I adore her. Clearly, she's amazing. Within 1 hour, we had the show. It's going to actually post mid-September. And all through, hey, can you do this introduction? Frankie knows me. She knows the caliber of work and what I do here, was very comfortable. And Natalie didn't even hesitate to come on the show because she trusted Frankie. This is how it's done. I think people, though, Beverly, and do you find this, they're afraid to ask, like you're overstepping. If Frankie felt uncomfortable, she would have said, Con, I don't know her that well. I would have said, cool, okay, right? You can't hurt but ask.
So that's right. And I think the way you get over it, and I found it hard to ask a while ago. It's been a while since I was shy. But the way you get over it is you reach out. Somebody says no, you feel humiliated. You reach out. Somebody acts like you're an idiot. You feel humiliated. you do that a few times and you realize this is ridiculous. That's their problem. It's not my problem. It's okay for them to say no. So you just tough it out a little bit and then you get over it. But also you get better at it and you practice like anything, like riding a bike. The more you practice, the more adept you are at it. And you start getting positive reinforcement because somebody's really nice to you and it can change everything. And I found that early on in my career, you know, I just hated cold calls to raise money for charity, or I hated pitching clients. But now I kind of think it's fun because it's a game. And I love recruiting great guests for my podcast. I have one just about work that you're going to be on soon. But that's often how I find a great client guest is I think, now, this is a terrific book. Who do I know who may know that person? And I just start searching. And I find somebody and I get it. I get the right email. I get an introduction. And, you know, people almost always say yes. And it's fun.
And that's interesting. I was going to say that. I find 9 out of 10 times when you reach out to someone saying, hey, can you help me with connection? Or can you help me? I know you work at, could you look at my resume for me and see if it's something that your company would be interested in? I find 9 out of 10 people say, oh my goodness, of course, because we've all been in a position of looking for a job, or we all have been in a position that our kid was looking for a job or a spouse was looking. So people, I truly believe, want to help others, especially in this game of career movement and stuff like that. I think not. And then, you know, the 10th person that you add, they're just cranky. It's like, whatever. And it's funny. You said it's their problem. I totally agree with that. But 9 out of 10 times, so 90% of the time, I think we have success when we ask people for help.
Well, even if the number isn't that high, you know, I live in Washington, which is a really tough town because there are a lot of people who are busy, and being asked for a lot of help. So whatever the number is, it can be 20%. I don't care. It's higher than that, but it could be 20%. It's still worth it because the little ask doesn't take any time. And as soon as you realize, all right, there's a numbers game. It doesn't matter. The joy and the fun and what happens from the good ones are really good. But back to something you said, I think most people, even if they're really busy right now, most people want to help other people. And there's research that suggests that if somebody gives you $100, and this is kind of a research study that's been set up a lot of times, somebody gives you $100 and said you can spend it any way you want, and they have you take a test on happiness before and then test after. Maybe you buy something on Amazon, probably not $100, but say it's $50 or $20. There's very little change in your happiness from being given the money and buying something you want. But if you are given the money to make a charitable contribution and you spend some time kind of thinking about who might need it and what you're going to do, that changes your happiness. People are hardwired to want to help other people, to want to connect with other people. And when you think about it, we're a species that needs other people to survive. If you throw one person down in a desert island, they're going to die. But if you throw 10, maybe they can get organized. And so people are hardwired to want to connect, to want to help other people. And also, I think, and I don't have the research on this, but my observation is a lot of people are a little bit lonely and a little bit shy and really, really appreciate the opportunity of somebody thinking enough of them to ask for help. So it's good for their ego and sense of self as well.
It's true, because people who are successful and you reach out and you ask for their help, I think they're humbled that you thought that they would help you, right? You have that opinion of them that they are coming from a helpful place to say, of course I'll help you, right? And the thing is, I think, Beverly, when you're asking someone for help, you're not asking them to stop and give you 20 hours of effort. It's, hey, can you look at my resume? Hey, can you pass it on? Hey, can you connect me with? And it's as simple as, Beverly, do you know Connie? Connie, this is Beverly. I'll let you two take it away. Two great people who need to meet each other. That could be the email. It takes a nanosecond oftentimes when we're reaching out and asking someone for help.
Well, in terms of time, because some people, you know, sometimes my clients say, I can't do any networking. I don't have any time. I don't know how to do it. How can I learn? And what I tell them is you can practice networking. You can get better at it by practicing it wherever you are. You can get better at networking by nurturing the casual interactions you have every day. One thing I've practiced myself when I was starting my own business and going into coaching and thinking, oh gosh, am I empathetic enough? Am I a good enough listener? Is I would like hang out in local restaurants and, you know, coffee shop kind of places where there's table service and so forth. And just try to connect with the server. Just try to find out a little bit about them. You know, treat them in a civil, supportive way. Notice if they were overworked. And by practicing with people who I saw regularly but didn't know, I find that, you know, I changed my approach. It became more habitual to kind of listen and notice. And that's really a big part. I had a client once who had been reviewed. He was highly successful, general counsel of a big organization, a lot of work, was very, very successful. But he had had a 360 review and found that the attorneys who worked for him and did well didn't like him very much and weren't very happy at work. And this was a big shock to him. So we got together and we kind of talked about feedback, and he said, I don't give them much feedback. These people are really good. They know if I'm not yelling at them, they're doing a terrific job. So that's where we started. He had to understand that people need feedback, but they have to feel connected. So we kind of came up with a game. Every day he would put 5 quarters in his pocket. And he could not go home from work that day until one by one had taken a pocket, taken a quarter from one pocket, put it on the other side. And he could only do that when he had stopped and tried to connect with one of his people, one of the people who worked for him, to ask him about themselves, to get to know each other. So he tried it for a week or two and he said, I'm not very good. Is it all right if I practice in other places? He practiced at home. He practiced at church. He got better and better. He said, I got to do this 10 times a day. And finally, pretty soon, he said, you know what? This is the most fun I have never I've ever had at work, and I'm never going to quit, and I don't need the quarters anymore. This has changed my life.
I love that.
And he learned how to network by actually learning how to be a decent boss.
Yeah. And he probably wasn't a bad guy, right? He's thinking, if I'm not yelling, you're doing a good job. I'm leaving you alone.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to micromanage you.
Yeah, he did a lot of good things. He tried to help his people grow. He got them training. A lot of the things he did were good, but they didn't like him because they felt no personal connection. And he learned he was well into middle age. He learned how to connect to people by listening and focusing on them and listening to them and just taking like a minute at a time to focus on another person. And it changed everything for him.
You said it before, put one person on a desert island, even if they are survivalists, they'll survive, but they'll be miserable. They probably would die an earlier death. You put 10 on the island and you become this thriving community, right, on a desert island.
Yeah.
We need to connect with humans. We need the human touch. We need the smile, right? All of those things fill our souls because
Absolutely.
We're busy. You know, we're busy. All right, I have a big question for you. So you've seen, I'm hearing, and I hope the listeners are hearing, you believe anybody can network. So what do you say to my introverts? They're saying, well, okay, yeah, Beverly, that's good for you because you're friendly. Yeah, that's good for Connie because she's really outgoing. What about the people who say, you want me to do what?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I do in Washington with clients in D.C. is that I point to people who are introverts under the Myers-Briggs kind of language.
Sure.
They've taken the test. They perceive themselves as introverts and become good networkers. And I think one of them is Hillary Clinton. She has described herself as an introvert. She wasn't born being able to connect with other people. And although she's gotten a lot of bad press, I've seen her in person. I've seen her in events over the years. I've watched her. She's a dynamite networker now. She really is able to connect in a way that she couldn't when she was young, when she first came to town. Her husband is a born networker. I mean, he just, you can watch him in any room and he connects, you know, with every server at the back table. He just has it. She doesn't have it, but she has learned the skill. And I've had lots of clients who are, you know, we might do the Myers-Briggs because that's a good way to like get at questions like introversion, extroversion. I've seen lots of clients develop a lot of skill. And I'd say I'm a modest extrovert. I'm not the most outgoing person in the world, but I have learned to be, and I've learned to love it just by practice and finding, you know, what makes me feel good. And so I just have no doubt that anybody can learn, regardless of what their issues, and people have a lot of different issues, but you can find a way to connect.
And you said it before, the gentleman who the attorney who nervous and not nervous, but it was like, you want me to do what? I don't know how to talk to the people I work with, right? We're doing our job. Let us do our job. He started at home. Practice in the mirror. Practice with your wife. Practice with your kids because, by the way, they need to learn that skill as well when they start to thrive at work. So all of those things, start with your friends. Hey, can I practice on you on building my connectivity skills and all of those things, my listening skills. Start with the people you're most comfortable with that you trust because it's a safe environment that they're not going to be like, what's wrong with you or give you any kind of negative feedback. So if you're introverted, I think that is the best recommendation I've ever heard. What happens, Beverly, when people think, okay, Beverly, I want to do this networking thing, but what about people who are so different than me? They're weird. How do you tell them to connect? Because, by the way, everybody's different than you. So how do you tell them to connect?
First, I think a lot of people feel that way and are too embarrassed to even say it. And again, it's something kind of natural. We're most comfortable being around what we know.
Definitely.
And so what you do is you put yourself in a situation that's a little bit uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be wild and crazy. You can go to a music event or an art event or a museum or a party, or you can go to a place where there are likely to be people who aren't your regular crowd. You can go to a church. You can travel to another country. You can just put yourself in situations where you are interacting with a wider range of people. And thinking about concentric circles, maybe this could be another example. You know, look at your own circle, and maybe you're mostly the people who you see in daily life, look a lot, sound a lot, act a lot like you. So you've got your comfort zone there. And then kind of think, what would be the next circle? Is it people who are in a different place? I think sometimes people who are in a different generation. Certainly, in Washington, it's a city of amazing diversity. It's, you know, people from all over the world and just diversity in every count. But in addition to having a place in D.C., we now have a place 80 miles out in the Blue Ridge in rural Virginia. There's not much diversity there. And if I had a kid, if I was raising a kid out in rural Virginia where, you know, a lot of people look alike and have lived there for a long time, I'd be traveling. If I were living there full time, and it's one reason we're not, because we like diversity, I'd be traveling. So you just expose yourself and you find a situation where you're increasingly comfortable, and then you go outside your comfort zone yet again.
Yeah, little by little.
And it can change your life.
Yeah, the other thing too is I always recommend to people read something Read the newspaper that you don't typically read. Read a book that maybe is different than your typical view on life. Read something that you think, that is the weirdest topic I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because as you read and expose yourself to something that, you know, your vision is this way, and whatever the book is way over here somewhere. Read that, because what happens is little by little, we can open our perspective, and then you just connect with more and more people, because you'll say to them, oh, it's so funny you mentioned that. I just read a book. Someone sent it to me. I read. Now all of a sudden you have a connection. You start talking, and the conversation is easy because you read the book, even though it wasn't something typical that you would have read. This now this other person you're talking, and then you find out, oh, we have so much in common.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting how when we challenge our comfort zone, that's where the magic happens. You know?
It is. And people share so many things where we have many hopes and desires and values in common with people who don't seem at first glance to be at all like us, that if you can learn a little bit about them, and you can do that through reading, including through reading fiction, then all of a sudden you see you're in the same family. You know, it changes your level of fear, and you have a sense of connection.
It's funny, I don't know where I was. It was with a colleague, and we were talking about diversity and inclusivity, which is a big topic in corporations, right? We have to,
sure.
We have to challenge, you know, you're not like me, that's okay, right? And I said, you know what? I wish we could flip that to say, instead of inclusion and diversity, let's find our common ground and build from there. Because I don't care who you meet, if you ask someone whether they're a parent, they're not a parent, they're a dog lover, you know, because they didn't have kids,
yeah.
And you say, at the core, what if you had a wish list where you had a magic wand and changed something in the world, what would that be for you? And I guarantee it's going to be a more respectful interaction, you know, with the people at the cleaners, right? Just, or, you know, less road rage. It's going to come from a place of love. I wish we had more love in the world, or something along those lines of respect. If it's a family, I'd like my kids to grow up in a safe, healthy environment, right? We want to protect our environment, this earth. We have one earth. I guarantee if you start at what we have in common, you will find something that you think, yeah, why aren't we talking more about that? Because we're all the same at the core.
Yes, yes, I think so.
Right? We're human, and humans, we want to thrive. We want to be successful. We want to love. We want to be happy. That's another thing. I think they say, oh, I want to be happy. That's a beautiful thing. Everybody should thrive to, or strive to be happy. It comes from within, but we have to strive to be happy. So it's just interesting. I agree. Challenge your comfort zone. That's where the magic starts happening.
Yeah. And that takes us right back to where we started talking about what networking is. It's really about connecting. It's really about reaching out to other people in a way that's authentic, and the benefit you get in terms of career or anything else, that's a byproduct. But the essence is connecting with other people, and that's always a good thing.
It is, and it feels good, right? I don't want to be on a desert island. I like being around people. I do better when I'm around people, because you can share ideas and build something even better than what you have built yourself. So the connectivity for me is a no-brainer. My introverts listening, you got this.
Exactly.
You've got this. If you would like more information, please look at Beverly's website. It's clearwaysconsulting.com. You know, I will post it on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform. So a lot of people commute with us, Beverly. So they'll follow you. Other thing, all my leaders out there, even if you're trying to break into becoming a leader and you're young and you're developing that skill, think like an entrepreneur, act like a CEO. Beverly really gives you 50 indispensable tips to help you stay afloat, bounce back, and just get ahead at work. So I highly recommend that book as well. Also, we were talking about Myers-Briggs. My partner and I have created a free online resource for all of you. It's a communication style assessment. It is not as detailed as a Myers-Briggs. Myers-Briggs is a deep dive. Ours is a communication style assessment. It's free. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com, and right on that landing page, it'll say, little block says free assessment. You get a report, and it'll tell you a little bit about what your strengths are, and it tells you about some of your blind spots. And we also give some little tips and recommendations in that report to help you, again, thrive. So it's a perfect match, Beverly, for our topic today. If you're unsure of who you are, find out what your strengths are. Leverage that when you go out into a networking environment. So the communication style assessment at Wisdom Decoded, check it out. Again, I love giving tools. I love having guests like Beverly. People need tools, I really believe, Beverly, so that they could peel back their onion and really understand who they are. So I thank you so much. Your book is amazing. And your podcast, one more time, is?
Just About Work. You can find it all the places podcasts are, but npr.org is an easy one.
Awesome.
And you and I will be in touch soon, and so you'll be on soon.
I love it. So check it out, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Truly, truly a pleasure. Our conversations are always so amazing. Thank you for wonderful tips that people literally can leave work today, go to a networking event tonight, and implement. So try them out. You got to try them out. You got to practice. That's life. Everyone, I thank you for joining us. I hope you'll join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that this thing we call change, it's easier than we think. And I hope my guests and myself provide those tips and ideas to help you, again, challenge that comfort zone. That's where the magic happens, and thrive in your life. Whatever change you're encountering, whether it's by choice or it's thrust upon you, you've got it. You can do this. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you, my wonderful guest, Beverly Jones. Have a wonderful, exciting, and an inspired week. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.